So we're starting a new series in Ephesians. Well, I'm going to start in Ephesians, and it's on the highway. The highway. How many know we're all on a journey? Wow. What a journey. You know, I mean, you know, I've asked a few people to testify. I'm going to be preaching 2 weeks. One is going to be Father's Day, and the other is today. And so I've asked a few people to testify about their journey, because people come in here and we have no idea what they've been through or what got them here. You know what I mean? Some of us don't even know. I mean, unless we're close to them, we don't even know. Everybody knows my journey because I have a platform. You know, Honky Tonk Stardust Cowboy. You know, I remember that one. You know, sitting on a park bench. You know, I mean, looking for love in all the wrong places. Don't get me started. But hey, you've heard my journey. You know what I mean? It's just been an incredible journey of His grace and His mercy and His love and His direction. You know what I mean? And stumbling through life, just stumbling through, literally stumbling through life. How many remember those days? Stumbling through life, you know, to get where He wants me to be. Oh, never taking His hand off me, saving my life. I can count 3 times distinctly when He saved my life to get to this place, to stand before you today. And many of you have those same testimonies, you know, how He saved your life to be here today. Oh my gosh, it's so wonderful. Ephesians 5:8. It says, you were once in darkness. That's what I'm talking about. How many remember the dark days? Whew. The dark days. You were, who said that? Amen. There you go. You were once in darkness. Oh my goodness. Thank you for that honesty. You were once in darkness. Oh, say, but now. But now. Oh, I love now. I love right now. I'm alive here at this moment in history, as difficult as it seems to make a change, to make an effect, to have an effect on people around me. You're here today, you know, to do something for God like only you can do in the areas only you can do it. Amen? Oh, my goodness. You were once in darkness, but now you are light. I love that. You are light. You're not going to become light. You are light in the darkness. You know, somehow, well, one day I'll get there. You know, one day if I pray hard enough, fast hard enough, you know what I mean? I'll get there. Well, it ain't happening that way, folks. I'm telling you, you know. God doesn't, we're learning more and more. God doesn't do it that way. He uses wherever you are, you know. Skinny, overweight, you know, whatever, you know. The world says He's waiting to use you until you get better. When you get better, you know, when you get more educated, when you get prettier, when you get, well, I ain't getting prettier, I ain't getting skinnier, you know what I mean? I mean, God wants to use me right now. Amen. He wants to use you right now. He wants to use you. It says, you are light. You are light. See, it's the power of the present moment, the power of now. Right now, people sit around and complain about now, you know. They complain about how things are, you know, how things are worse than ever before and all that stuff. I won't listen to them. I won't pay them no mind at all, okay? I'll walk away from them. Hey, you know, I'm not going to that place. I'm a prophetic person in a kingdom, okay? And I'm to bring life and light. I'm going to shed light on things. It says, you are light in the Lord. Walk. This is about your journey. Walk every day. Walking. I see people walking all the time. Don't you? They got clothes for it. You know what I mean? They got monitors on their wrist to show how many miles they walked. You know what I mean? I mean, I'd be afraid to put one on. It says, but now, the power of the present moment, you are light. You're not going to be light. You are the light in the Lord. You are the light of the Lord. You are children of light. Your daddy is the father of lights. Hallelujah. My daddy's the father of lights. And many of you did have a, oh, hey, Cheryl, how you doing? I see that hand. Many people are stuck because they had a bad daddy. You know what I mean? How many had a bad daddy? Mine was absent. That's part of my journey. Totally absent, okay? But we turned it around. We learned the Father's love. Oh, man, we worked so hard. We're no longer orphans. Okay? We're accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. I mean, for goodness sake, I mean, I'm a child of the King. My father is the father of light, okay? Your father is the father of light. Let there be light. Let there be light. You know, and like that, he wants us to go turn the lights on. You know, not turn the lights off. You forgot to turn the lights off. Again. You know what I mean? No. Turn the lights on. Run around. Turn the lights on. Turn the lights on everywhere. You know what I mean? I mean, we live all hurt and wounded because we had a bad dad. You know, because he was absent. I'm not making light of it. Get healed. Get healed. There's healing out, tremendous healing out there for the past. You know, I wrote down, free from the past. I'm free from the past. I'm aware of the power of the present. That's what I'm aware of the presence of God in my life. The power of the presence of God. I'm living in the light. No longer in darkness. I am living in the light. I bask, literally bask in the light. I love to, you know, lay out in the sun, but I mean, without the sun even, I bask in the light. I just bask in the light. I smile at God, and I know he's smiling at me. So we just sit there and smile at each other. But see, you have to know he loved you, he loved you, he loved you. You have to know you're accepted in the beloved. There's no shame. You're not ashamed. You know, the past is over. You know? So I can smile at God, and it fills me with such strength and confidence. It's called meditation. It's a contemporary form of meditation. It's a contemporary form of prayer, really. And it's so simple that even a child could do it. You know, I mean, it's just wonderful. You just bask in the glory. We call it gazing. Gazing, that's what we call it, the house of prayer. We gaze at the throne room revelation. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Fill me, Lord, just fill me. I mean, you take some time to do that. You know, turn off TV. You know, because I don't know what you're getting from a lot of that. But gaze at the Lord. Take some time to build yourself spiritually that way. That's what you were created for. A connection at a deeper level with the Father than anybody even realizes. Where was I? More light, more light. Free from the past. Aware of the power of the present. Living in the light. And a greater expectation for good things to come. Oh, hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm excited for Cleveland. And I know enough people and pastors and prayer people that are excited for what God's going to do. Prophetic people that aren't deterred from the past. The burning river. You know, Huff riots. You know, I was at Dunham Tavern yesterday. I don't know, the oldest building in Cleveland, all right? Big space between 69th and Euclid and Chester. It was beautiful, absolutely. And they're working. They want it to be like a central park for Cleveland. So, man, I can get on board that. You know what I mean? Green space, beautiful space. Get on board with something positive, something encouraging, something good. Amen. There's plenty of it out there to do. Plenty of it out there. It's wonderful. You know, we expose the lies. That's when we bring more. We expose the lies that hinder you from expected end. There's things that are hindering people, even Christian people. They're walking around, you know, depressed and angry. You know, I was listening to Cat Stevens the other last night too, and he wrote this thing called On the Road to Find Out. How many remember it? On the Road to Find Out. Oh my gosh, what a beautiful song. You know, even secular music. I mean, they're looking, they're hungry. They want more. They want love, you know. They want it. And we got the answer. We got the answer if we don't alienate them, if we don't cut them off. Let's go over to Psalms, the book of Psalms. Which one was it, Ron? Psalm 119, 105. Oh, I love this one. I love the Psalms because David wrote them. You know, my name is David. My parents didn't even know what they were doing. You know what I mean? And they named me David after King David who loved to dance. I mean, I got to dance, you know? I mean, it's in my DNA. You know, now you're going to look like a fool. You got to dance like nobody's watching, you know what I mean? So you got to jump out there. Let's see, Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Why was I stumbling in darkness? Because I didn't know the word. I didn't have a word. I didn't have a word from the Lord saying, you are good, you are good. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I'm here to give people that word on their journey. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you. You know, he loves you. He loved. Help, repeat it after me. He loves me, he loves me. See, we have to get that negativity out of people's hearts. He loves you. He's not just good, he loves you. He already demonstrated his love towards us while we were yet sinners or in darkness, and he hasn't changed his mind. Woo! That's wonderful. Your word, Jesus is the word, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Jesus, the living word, is the light. Jesus, the living word, is the light. He shows us an example how to deal with a multitude of issues and sinners and people. And I mean, he just puts a value on people. There's a tremendous stress on relationships today. Do you know that? How many are married? There's a tremendous stress, and some people are caving to that stress. I go to homes, okay, of people, and I see how they talk to one another, you know? And I talk to my wife sometimes like that, you know, like, oh my gosh, you know? And I told her the cure from it. How do we do this? I said, just quit asking me stupid questions. She did not take that. But anyway, I mean, you know, we don't put value on people anymore. See, we once married this gorgeous hot babe, you know what I mean? And now we're aging. So sometimes, you know, she married me because she liked my black hair, you know what I mean? And I mean, and I, you know all those issues you get into in the beginning for loving people and everything. And things are fading, but we still have to place value on one another if we intend to stay together. You know, you ever I'd ask a question to a couple, and the girl just rolls her eyes and goes like this. Well, he said. See, that's not valuing people. And I'm praying, God, help me value Judy. Because I'm in this with you. I need to place value on her on a continual basis to listen to her and treat her with love and respect. Am I talking to anybody here? You know what I'm talking? I mean, if it doesn't start there, where are we going to do it? If it doesn't start there, we're not going to do it to the grocery clerk, or we're not going to do it. It's got to start at home. And I realize this on my journey, my whole journey. I'm at this whole place, you know. And that's why we need special grace at special times, because we're older now. We've been married 30-some years, and the kids are all gone. And now it's just us, you know. Whew. Then God wants to go deeper and give us more grace. That's why old people need prayer. You know what I mean? To make this transition. You know, when you get older, you're almost invisible. You ever notice you become invisible to young people? So I called a girl at the cash register, her name, and she goes, this guy hitting on me? Honey, you're wearing a name tag. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm just trying to treat her with some value by calling her name. And by being aware that she's valuable to God, just at that level, and something happens, transform. I didn't have to say, here, take this track in the name of Jesus. I just had to call her by name and treat her with value. Hope. That's what Jesus did. That's what he showed me. He is the light of the world. He showed us how to do these things. He told us, he showed us how to call Zacchaeus out of the tree. And invite them over. You know? It's his word. It's not somebody else's word or perspective or opinion about things. And we got plenty of that, don't we? I'm not going to repeat somebody else's word about the condition of things. I'm going to go to God and filter it through God. That's what you have to do, or you will walk in darkness, doom and gloom, depression. Oh my, you know what I mean? And I can't stand that darkness. I want to walk in the light. I was made for the light. It says, and a light unto my path. He's a light unto my path. Stay in the light. Keep moving toward the light, you know? moving. It's not for the end, you know. Move toward the light. Move toward the light. No, it's for life, your whole life. Move toward the light. Whatever brings light. If there's negativity, there's no value in it. If it's talking about people with no value, even that special people group that you can't stand, you know what I'm talking about? See them in the light. See them with infinite value in the Lord. Infinite value in the Lord. That's what we need to see if we want to be children of light. What's God saying? What's God saying? That's what I always, Dan Weed always used to say that to me. What's God saying? What's God saying? He called me in the middle of the day. What's God saying? You know, Jesus wept. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'd have to make something up. I don't have to make something up anymore. And I should be progressing on my journey of hearing what God's saying. You know what I'm talking about? Not what the world's saying, not what, I don't want to mention names about commentators and opinionators and negativity slayers and all those people. I'm talking about what's God saying? Hallelujah. I want to hear what God's saying, my Father is saying. Oh, oppression brings depression. It just brings depression. Your ears, Isaiah 30:21 says, your ears or your spiritual ears shall hear a word behind you. That's a word of encouragement. A word, I felt God's hand on my back many times. You know, just pushing me out. You ever feel that, you know? Pushing you out. He was pushing me out today. I don't know. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's not a word from you. You know, I don't know. Risk it. Amen, Cheryl. And risk it. Cheryl's risked it many times. You know, just the risk. You take it out. It's exciting. It's exuberant. You know you're alive. You know, I'm not a thrill seeker. I don't jump out of planes or, you know, off bridges or anything like that, you know. But this is exciting. You are created for this. Take the risk. This is the way. This is the way. That's what the word behind you said. This is the way. I mean, you wouldn't be here this morning if you hadn't heard from the Lord. Honest to goodness. I mean, it's not a mistake. You just didn't stumble in here, you know. Hey, what's going on here? I don't know. Why am I here? Who are these people? You know. I mean, you heard from the Lord and said, this has value for my life. Yes. Oh, my goodness. This has infinite value in my life. Psalm 84. We're getting close to the end. Psalm 84. Hold on. He here it is, 84. What is 83? 84, 5. Blessed is the man. Oh, I love this. Blessed. I'm such a blessed man. I love when people call me to do blessings. Like I was at my, you know, 100th year high school graduation. Actually, it was my 50th. And they said, could you do the blessing? Oh, my gosh. I mean, where you get a room of 200 people, 250 people, and you could bless them? Yes! Hallelujah! They called it the invocation. You know what I mean? I blessed their socks off, man. And they were stunned because they thought they were going to get like a lecture. You know what I mean? Oh, Lord. No, I said, with all eyes open, look around at the blessing around you. Look at one another. You're the blessing. God's placed value on your life and what you've achieved, what you've done. They were shocked. They thought God was mad at them. You know what I mean? Disappointed in them. Oh, God, the Father of lights. The Father of lights wants you to bask in the light. Bask in. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Hallelujah. His strength is in me. Not my strength. I'm not a self-made man. I'm a God-made man. Okay? Whose heart is set on the journey, on pilgrimage. My heart at this point is set. Okay? No turning back. But I'm at that age. What am I going back to? You know? Maybe a younger girl, you know? I mean, guys fall for that stuff, you know? I'll go for a younger girl, you know? And that'll make me happy. Yikes. You know what I mean? Or all kinds, you know, cars, whatever. You know what I mean? They make up that they're going to go to make them happy, you know? Oh, my gosh. I'm set on pilgrimage. I want to be a better man. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better husband. I really do. with God's help. It says, whose heart is set. Set your heart today. Set your heart. I have an old clock at home that's slow all the time. I set it every morning, and I have no idea why. But it helps me. You know, it's a wind-up clock. Anybody else have wind-up clocks? I mean, I love wind-up clocks. I walk around the house and wind them. I don't know why. You know, but I set it every day. Reset that clock. And you got to reset your life to follow the path that God has set you on. Reset your life. You're going to be, yes, it says right here, it says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, or weeping. We know there's going to be trials. We know you've got to reinvent yourself. Oh my gosh. You got to see all the possibilities. It's just infinite possibilities. You have to get out there and just get up and do it. Oh, good morning, God, and thank you for the glory of the sun. Thank you for the glory of the sun. I can bask in it. Thank you for the glory of the sun. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the strength you've given me to get my duty done. I shall devote the hours of this golden day to you for honoring your holy name in everything I do. And so once more, good morning, God. And please depend on me because I want to honor you for all eternity. You know, my mother taught me that prayer. My mother taught me that prayer. Oh my gosh. And I know, you know, it may seem religious and everything, but it sets my clock, folks. You know, it sets my clock. It sets my direction. And I need a direction setting. When I sat here last week and heard Sandy's sermon, you know, it reset me. That's what church does. It resets me. It resets me like the evening news can't, like, you know, Glenn Beck can't, like all those others. I wasn't going to say names, but I mean, like all those other places can't reset me in my path, my journey, what I'm called to do. You need somebody. You need something. You need a practice to reset you on that journey, to reset you on that path, because we can get off this path. How many know that? Yes. It says, they make it a spring, a revival. Whew. You know, I love to pray for revival because I'm already in it. You know, people come begging for revival. And I'm saying, I'll bring it to you. Here it is. Here it is. It's a spring. It's a spring. And yeah, I want it, you know, world, citywide and nationwide and the whole thing. But first, it's got to happen in your heart. From the head to the heart. Some are carrying it in their head because they're looking at past revivals from Finney and all those guys. I'm done with all that. He's going to do something brand new. Like we've never seen before. Like we can't even imagine. Whew. Above and beyond what we can even ask or think. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my gosh. And the rain also covers it with pools. Pools of blessing. Pools of blessing. Pools of blessing. I'm just going to, before I call Kevin up to give, I want to have some people to tell us about their journey. And I just want to give you this one scripture. In Jeremiah, I got it this morning. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you future and a hope. There's hope, folks. There's a wonderful prayer meeting going on in Cleveland before the RNC, hosted by Bethel Church. It's called There Is Hope. Oh, it's a wonderful prayer meeting. I went to it last month. Oh my gosh. Young people full of hope for what God's going to do. See, because he wants to bless a people, not just a nation. Okay? If I get all caught up in my nation, all right, I could get depressed. I could get bummed like other people. But he's talking about a people, all right? All over. He's bigger than all of it. He's talking about a people. A people. His children. That he wants to bless. That he has hope for. He has hope. Then you will call on me and go and pray to me. And I will listen to you. He, you know, when my kids start begging and weeping and crying and moaning, I'm not listening to them. You know what I mean? I don't listen to them. And you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart, from the head to the heart, not just in your head, but your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back. Now, that's not the whole scripture, but I'm stopping there. I will bring you back from whatever head trip you're on. Because a lot of people are on some real strange head trips, even Christians. When you get it in your heart, I will bring you back from that head trip. I will bring you back from that hate trip. I will bring you back from that fear trip. That's what Daddy wants to do. He wants to heal you. He wants to bring you back to that place where you know there's nothing but hope. There's nothing but love. And there's nothing but blessing coming your way. I'm telling you. Thank you, Lord. Now I want to invite Kevin to come and tell us just a little bit about his journey. We have a mic here. Do you know how to work this, Kevin?
Yes.
Is it on? Okay. Good morning. Go Cavs. All right. So, I don't know. I mean, my journey is, you know, not really unlike, not too much unlike anybody else's journey. You know, when I was a kid, we went to a church. I grew up in Canton. We went to a church called Central Baptist Church. Still there, by the way. And, you know, we went really because my mother would get us up on Sunday morning and she would make us go. We didn't hop out of bed on Sunday morning like, hey, Mom, let's go to church. It wasn't how it went. She got us up, and she got us ready to go to church. But ironically, she herself did not go. She made us go. So we would always catch the church bus. This big orange school bus would come and pick up the kids, and we would go to Sunday school. And we would learn, and you know, this was it was kind of like a – sort of like a fire and brimstone type church, you know. We had a Sunday school teacher, his name was Wes. It's funny how I remember that stuff, but I don't remember stuff that Heather tells me like a week ago. but his name was Wes, and I remember him saying to me one time, and this is, I don't even know how or why I remember this, but I remember him saying to me one time, that you shouldn't say the word geez, like you say, oh, geez, because you were taking Jesus' name in vain, because geez was short for Jesus. And I was like, wow, I've been taking the Lord's name in vain a lot. But, you know, so that was the kind of church we went to. But it really wasn't, you know, again, it was something that we were doing not because we wanted to do it, because we were being made to go by my mom. And so we did that for a while, and you know, once we got, you know, on those rare occasions where she wouldn't get us up and make us go to church, it was like a reprieve. It was like, you know, we got like a weekend pass from jail or something. Like we, you know, we didn't have to go to church. And so, you know, it was kind of that way. So there really was, when we went, we learned stuff, but we weren't actively seeking, I guess, is the best way that I can put it. So that, you know, that went on for, I don't know, to my early teens. And then basically, Mom just stopped making us go. We didn't have to go anymore. The older we got, and so I don't know if she was trying to leave the decision up to us to go, but it, you know, whatever she did, we just stopped going. And so for a long time, I was pretty much out of the church. I guess I didn't feel that I really had a need or a use for the church. And so it went that way for a while for me until I was probably about maybe 18 or 19. And then I went on, some of you might be familiar with Koinonia. I went on a Koinonia men's weekend. My best friend's mother had asked me if I wanted to go. I really didn't want to go, but I said I would go because, you know, I couldn't tell her. she's like a second mother to me. So she said, you know, do you want to go this weekend? I'm like, yeah, fine, I'll go. So I went. And the weekend kind of started out kind of boring, and, you know, I really wasn't that interested in it. And then as it went along. I don't really know what it was. You know, as it went along, something, I guess you could say, kind of awakened in me. And towards the end of the weekend, if you've never been on one, towards the end of the weekend, you know, they get everybody that's been invited to go in this room. You're sitting around this huge table, like, you know, big rectangle shape. And then everybody that worked there on the weekend, they all come in and they're like singing songs. And something, that night, something just kind of came over me. And I just started like crying, like uncontrollably crying. And I think it was just feeling like all that love in that room at that particular time. I was trying to be tough and not cry or anything like that, but I couldn't stop it. Like once it started, it just came out, and I'm like sitting there bawling like a baby. And so I came back from the weekend, and the one thing I remember really most about that weekend is because my best friend had gone, and when we were teenagers growing up, you know, he was kind of rebellious. He was a skater kid, you know, and he would do and say things to like his mother, and I would be like, man, if I ever did that to my mom, like, you know, be like murder, death, kill if I ever did that to my mom, like, you know. But he was just that kind of kid. But he went on this weekend, and when he came back, he had this huge transformation. And when I went after him, and I went, and I remember feeling bad because I didn't have the same transformation that he had. Like, he came back, oh, he was almost like the guy that left. When he came back 2 days later, I didn't even know that guy when he came back. But it didn't happen like that for me. And so I was kind of confused, kind of disappointed. Because even though that night happened and I was that night and that I felt that love in that room that night, when I came back, I still didn't. It wasn't like I was the same as he was. I wanted to be like he was, but I wasn't. And so that really kind of made me a little still wishy-washy about the church. And so it wasn't really until I met Heather. And, you know, it's funny. They say things happen by chance. You know, every decision you make alters, whatever. So, you know, I met Heather, and at that time I was out there, just out being single, doing me, all that kind of stuff. And so I met Heather one night. It was funny because, you know, I took my brother out. It was his birthday. I took him out for a drink. And my brother and I had never really got along. We were never really close like brothers should be. But I had a thought. I said, okay, you know, I take him out for a drink. So I go out and I meet Heather, and Heather and I kind of hit it off. And so we were dating, and I got to meet Doug and Rhonda. And not long after we started dating is when I found Oak River. And the thing about Oak River that really kind of got me was the non-judgmental, because I always had this idea of Christianity as being very judgmental. Mm-hmm. Like fire and brimstone, like I was when I was a kid, when I was going to the church. It was all like, you know, you have to do this, or, you know, hell is the one-way ticket to hell, basically what it was. It felt so judgmental. And that was the thing about this church that kind of got me back into it. And it's funny because, you know, when you think about things like that, and you think about what Christianity is and or what idea you might have of it, and then you think about your journey and where you've come and how things fall into place, and you don't really have an answer for why they fall into place that way, you know? And sometimes it just has to be. I was watching a video last night. I'm sorry, I'm jumping all over the place, but things are just popping into my head. I'm kind of freestyling this, but I was watching a video last night because, you know, I'm sure you all know Muhammad Ali passed away. And I was watching videos of Ali last night. And he was doing an interview. It was in the UK. And somebody stood up and asked him what he was going to do when he was done boxing. And so he started breaking down his whole life. And he was breaking down how much time he slept, how much time he traveled, because at that time he was always traveling. How much time he slept, how much time he traveled, how much time he did this, how much time he did that. And he came to the conclusion, this was probably 1975, so he was about 35 himself at this time. So he was kind of on the back end of his career. But he kind of broke it down to where he said, I really have after all this sleeping and traveling and everything that I do, I have about 16 years to be productive. And he said, I'm going to use those 16 years to get closer to God. That's what he said. Now, and he was going and talking, he was just talking about how he wanted to spend that time getting that much closer to God because he didn't have as much time as he thought he had. Now, you know, that might go along the lines of the fire and brimstone, but it to me, it struck me as Muhammad Ali. Here's Muhammad Ali, this devout Muslim, talking about how he wanted to get closer to God before it was all said and done. And he only had a certain amount of time that he'd broken it down. It's almost like when Rhonda says, like, I got what, like 3,700 minutes to live or something like that, you know? And that's what he was saying. So, I mean, I guess the gist of it all is that, you know, everybody's got a journey. I have my own journey. I'm still on that journey, and I try to stay close to God, and I still, there are still things that I don't understand. I don't understand, but I think that's okay. I think it's okay if you, it's okay to question things that you don't understand in Christianity, and when you're trying to have a relationship with God, you know, you're not going to understand everything. I don't. You know, I'm 40 years old and I still don't understand a lot of stuff, but that's okay. So if that's your journey, if you're in a spot where you don't understand things, that's fine. Just do the best that you can to try to get as close to God as you can. That's what I'm doing, and I'm by no means perfect. You know, I'm still dealing with my own personal issues and my own personal demons and all that kind of stuff from things that started way back when I was a kid. I'm still dealing with that at 40, you know, but that's just part of who I am. And I don't know. I guess that's it.
Well, you know, it's really been a blessing to watch God bless Kevin's life, you know, his journey. It's always, you know, and the one thing he said that I really love is we can't expect people to be in the same place on the journey that we are, okay? As a more mature person, I have learned to respect people on their journey, where they're at. To value them where they're at and know that God has their hand on their life, whether it be Muhammad Ali or whoever. And if you will show respect for people, value for people, their journey will accelerate in a quicker way. You can shut somebody down just by, you know, and I know we all want them to be, you know, born again, spirit-filled, charismatic, you know, Christians, but everybody's not in that place. You know, I can't expect Kevin to be in my place, but I respect where he's at and him continuing on the journey. So I want you to say, we love you, Kevin. And we're so glad. Lord, we just thank you for Kevin, Lord. And Lord, the grace upon his life to be here, to be a dad, to be in the Gilmore family, Lord God, we know it takes a special grace. And we thank you that he goes from strength to strength, Lord God. He just recognizes God's goodness and his love, and it keeps him going. So we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Kevin. Praise God.